Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids, going to cons is our.
Hey everybody, my name is Tom and I'm one of the Long Box guys, and welcome to the Long Box guys. And today we're going to be thinking outside the Long Box. We're starting off Black History Month, and we're going to be talking for the entire month about some of our favorite African-American superheroes, and what better way to start than with Sam Wilson. But before we get into Sam Wilson and his history, let's introduce all the Long Box guys. Josh, how you doing and what you drinking?
I am drinking a ginormous Pimm's Cup, the biggest Pimm's Cup your head has ever seen.
That Pimm's Cup is so big, it can almost be a Pimm's Cup.
It's almost a Pimm's Bucket.
And how is your cucumber in that?
Slightly bruised.
Slightly bruised is the way to go in a Pimm's Cup. LT, how you doing and what you drinking?
I'm doing fine. I am drinking Basil Hayden's tonight.
Basil Hayden's. That sounds like Basil something Hayden's. Rich old white women drink.
It's made right here in America.
A British man's jizz.
it's a lovely whiskey.
A lovely whiskey. All right then, Mike. Don't disappoint me the way LT just did. How you doing and what you drinking?
I'm doing excellent. I've upped my ante. I've got five fingers of Jameson tonight.
Oh. Five fingers of Jameson. That Craigslist guy still hanging out with you?
Yes, and he's my butler. He's not just any Craigslist guy.
All right. Well, I am enjoying a Harvey Bullock served in a Johnny Skywalker glass. A Harvey Bullock, by the way, is all the scotch left in all the half-empty bottles in the house, poured into one glass with two large round ice cubes inside of it. And it is delicious. And like I said, we're going to be talking about Sam Wilson. Who would like to give me a little bit of the backstory of Sam Wilson? Not it.
Not it.
Not it.
Go, Josh.
Huh. All right. Well.
I know. We all expected LT to lose.
I was totally
I have
drinking
learned.
When you said that. And now, all right. So Sam Wilson is often considered but also contested to be the first mainstream African-American superhero. He was first presented in Captain America, I'm going to say 115, 16, maybe 17, somewhere before 120.
In the teens, certainly.
It's certainly in the teens. It was in 1969 by Stan Lee and Gene Colan. That guy's going to be angry at me if his name's not Colin. But it's certainly spelled something like that.
Well, I actually, if you don't mind me saying so, I'm pretty sure it is Colin because his daughter's name is Semi.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
And it was Captain America 117.
Okay, there you go. So I was close.
You were.
Did I get the year right?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. And so the Falcon started out as a former resident of the Harlem neighborhood. He adopted a wild bird, a falcon or an eagle named Red Wing. And he helped Steve Rogers defend a small island. And they eventually became partners and went on to be it was Captain America and the Falcon, where he was considered an equal partner and not a sidekick at the time. He's had a couple of one seriously disappointing retcon, right, where they changed his background to being something less than nice. His power profile has always basically been superhuman, but high level human athleticism. The wings he wears have gone under anywhere from mechanical to now he's got some like force powered wings. And eventually he also takes over as good old Captain America.
Well, very succinct and a good background story. I've always loved this character. Mikey, why don't you tell us what your favorite run with Sam Wilson, Mike? The Falcon, or Captain America has been?
So
he is so...
Captain America, this is my Captain America, Sam Wilson. And the reason why is going back to the first Captain America comic book that I ever read, which was Captain America 130-something, 138. But starting in issue 134, the Captain America title changed from Captain America to Captain America and the Falcon, and it stayed that way until issue 222. I really liked him a lot as the Falcon. I don't know why he decided to take on the mantle of Captain America when Captain America was no longer able to be Captain America because he had aged out of it. And I guess he felt that Captain America was such a symbol for the U.S. that it was important for the legacy to continue onward. His new series, Sam Wilson, Captain America, is my favorite series because not only is Nick Spencer one of my favorite writers, but Nick Spencer is not afraid to tackle tough issues, and he ticks off a lot of people when he does that. In the first issue of his series, he talks about illegal immigration. He saves a bunch of illegal immigrants from the watchdogs who are going to kill them, or actually they're going to kidnap them and take them out for scientific experiments. But because he was saving illegal aliens from these racist guys, he was dubbed in Fox News as being anti-American. And this has continued on. Nick Spencer hasn't backed down for this. In fact, he's made it more of a challenge to try to tick off the right wing. So as the series goes along, he puts in right-wing conservative pundits who have mocked him on Fox News as characters in the series. It's a great series. You should really be checking it out. It's called Sam Wilson, Captain America, and he is my Captain America.
So Captain America is kind of like a foster superhero because he just ages out of the system.
Yeah, well, he had it's a whole storyline, but he ended up aging to his appropriate age. They added on, and so he became an 80-year-old. He didn't have the super soldier formula anymore. He could not physically be Captain America, so that's why Sam took over.
So he doesn't keep the wings? He's not like Captain America with wings?
Oh, no, he kept the wings.
So he is. He keeps the wings.
He keeps the wings and takes the shield and goes by the moniker of Captain America. Later on, a part of a cosmic cube turns Captain America, Steve Rogers, back into Captain America-esque. And Sam tells Steve, hey, look, you're back. You're able to be Captain America again. I'll go back to being the Falcon. And Captain America's like, no, there's no reason why we both can't be Captain America. You've done the shield proud. You keep the shield. And Cap goes back to his original shield, the one that's, not round shape, but the Golden
Age
shield. Shield.
Can't throw? Wow.
Yeah.
But like the Chevron shield?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know. I haven't really kept up with that. But yeah, I'm going to have to take a look at that. That sounds cool.
He's also part of Hydra, but spoilers.
Well, yeah. Yeah, whatever.
We all saw that coming. Yeah. Your mom's in Hydra.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere near Connecticut, the Connecticut border, they're all in Hydra. You ever been to that state?
Nothing but Hydra.
Hail Hydra's right in the license plate. They're not even hiding it.
They try to disguise it as Hail Hartford, but we all know what it is.
We all know what it is.
I'm not fooling.
Nutmegs. And when they change the nutmeg steaks to Hail.
Hail Hydra is what I say when people sneeze, because I'm just like, you know, if this whole living thing doesn't work out, don't worry. Because if you die, someone will take your place and it'll all be good. Don't worry about it, man.
It's like that all over Somerset County. I mean, Connecticut. It's ridiculous. It's Hydra country.
Country. Nutmeg state my ass. That's Hydra country.
That's right.
Now, for my favorite Sam Wilson run, we're going to talk about something I know that Josh and I have talked about way back in the day, and that's PowerPoint Records. And my favorite Captain America story ever was on Power Records Presents Captain America and the Falcon and a Phoenix Shall Arise, in which Captain America and the Falcon are attacked by an old enemy of theirs who is going by the name of the Phoenix, but it's actually just Baron Zemo out for revenge. Well, I shouldn't say it's Baron Zemo. Spoiler alert, if you're going to be listening to this old Power Records, if you find this old 45 and a comic book lying around, spoiler alert, it actually turns out to be Baron Zemo's son who wants revenge. This was, I'm going to post a link to it on our Twitter account, but you can watch the entire thing on YouTube and turn the page as it goes. I don't like the voice they give to the Falcon, and the Falcon doesn't actually fly. He's swinging around on a rope. Don't know why that is. So there's a couple incongruities to it that I'm not like sure. They told them, hey, the Falcon can fly. They're like, oh, all right. Didn't know that. Should have told us last week when we drawn it. But it's a great comic book. It's a lot of fun to not only read but also listen to. It is one of my favorite things as a kid. Josh, your favorite thing was Spider-Man versus the Dragon Man, right?
I absolutely love that, and I still have it.
I was so happy when I found this on YouTube. I probably watched it like five times since I found it. And another little interesting point in this is at one point Captain America is trying to ditch the Falcon because he doesn't want the Falcon to get hurt because the Phoenix is trying to kill Captain America. So he tells the Falcon, you've never been anything but a sidekick. Go away. You know, we're not real friends. And the Falcon goes, all right, fine, leaves. But the Falcon goes, I know that's not how he feels. And follows the Captain anyways, knowing that the Captain would never say that in real life because there's just too much respect between the two men. So, it's kind of a feel-good little comic book also. So, Josh, what's your favorite?
So I don't really have a favorite. Like I've always liked the character. I like Captain. I like when he's been on the sidelines, but it's not something I've really followed. But I have to say, Mike's description of the new Captain, it makes me kind of want to dive in. But actually, I was going to implore you, Tom, to talk about. I know we were, since we're exploring the early African American heroes, maybe we should wait to your segment at the end to talk about Lobo, and not the one from DC Comics.
I will. That's what I'll talk about today. I'll mention Lobo today, so we talk about African-American comics when I get to my section.
I will pass my time on to your civil rights section. I don't have a lot to say about Falcon, although I have to say Anthony Mackie, love him. Love that guy.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He brought a real bit to the character. I love the fact that they, you know, bonded by being soldiers. Maybe different eras, but soldiers are soldiers. I go to Mike, back me up on this. If you meet someone at an airport or on the bus and they happen to be a veteran, you just fall into a conversation easily. Is that correct?
It is.
It is. It's a weird thing. It's a weird camaraderie. We can have nothing else in common, but, oh, where'd you go to boot camp? Where'd you do your MOS? And boom, we're talking about bases and the top we hated and eating an MRI. An MRI.
MRE.
An MRE and how much they sucked. You think that sucked? You should have tried a C-ration. Oh, I tried one. But... So I love the instant, you know, veteran, you know, thing that they had going. And I can tell you for, you know, my own experience, that's been pretty darn real. LT, what was your favorite run?
So my favorite run is the new Captain America, same as Mikey. And I kind of predicted that would happen. So I prepared to talk about a different run. Even though I really like the new run with the Sons of the Serpent going corporate. I highly recommend that you guys check out the new run. But
you know what, LT, thank you for correcting me. I call them the Watchdogs. It's the Sons of the Serpent. You're right. Thank you.
The Sons of the Serpent. They went corporate. They tried to act as I don't know. Would you refer to it as consultants for other corporations?
You're talking about not the Sons of the Serpent, the Serpent Society.
Serpent Society, sorry. But yeah, it's just great, great, great book. But another also very relevant Captain America and the Falcon book to today is Captain America and the Falcon: Two Americas, that came out in 2004 by Christopher Priest and Bart Sears. I wasn't terribly crazy about the artwork. I feel some of these people.
I'm sorry, the artwork was horrible. It's like Rob Liefeld said, you know what? This guy needs more muscles. It was horrible.
In Captain America and the Falcon 2 Americas? Yeah. Yeah, there are muscle groups on these people that I don't think exist in the real world. But the writing by Christopher Priest is really pretty good. And in it, it has some very, very things that are relevant to today's society that are just as relevant today as when they were written about America trading off between privacy and security and human rights and security. And it's just it's a great storyline where the Falcon goes to Gitmo and releases a reporter that has been held prisoner. Reporter for the Bugle who's been held prisoner, and breaks a story that involves some of the wrongs that are being done basically in the name of security for the country. And it's a really relevant book. Once again, the artwork kind of sucks, but still worth reading. And it just highlights once again that the Falcon is a true American hero and is one of those guys that really does kind of stand up for America just as much as Captain America.
I find particularly relevant.
People, hear me and hear me well. I, Draco, King of the Dragon Men, Master of the Heavens, from this moment on, shall rule over planet Earth. Your fate is sealed.
I'm just saying, particularly relevant.
Particularly relevant.
By the way, I found this on a tangent.
I found that Rob Liefeld, Captain America, the one with his seriously crazy chest. You guys know which one I'm talking about, right? It's kind of famous. I'll put it up on our Facebook page, or at least I'll link it over to you guys.
This whole book was in a similar style. I mean, the difference is, like I said, is that there's some muscle groups that aren't found in Grey's Anatomy.
They're just poking out on the style.
But like I said, the writing by Christopher Priest is completely and totally relevant to today's things that are happening in the presidential world. And it's a good book. And I'd say that's probably one of my more favorite character pieces of the Falcon. Other than some of the 70s stuff where he's fighting street crime.
All right, then. Thank you for that, Tommy. Anyone have any closing thoughts on Sam Wilson or Sam Wilson as Captain America? All right, then we're going to move on. we don't have to linger. It's all right. Mikey, why don't you tell us what you got in the front of the long box today?
No, because I have Captain America, Two Americas in the front of the long box. And LT, I stole your thunder, and you stole mine right back, you son of a...
All right, that's fine. We don't have to go into that. LT, what do you got in the back of the long box?
In the back of the long box, I'm not going back too far. I'm going to Rickety Rick and Morty. I read the first four issues of Rick and Morty this past weekend, and it is everything that the TV show is. These are fantastic little short Rick and Morty stories. Typically, each book has a little short supporting character story in it. And they are just as fantastic as the TV show. If you like the TV show Rick and Morty, you will love this comic because it delivers. The only thing is that they're too short. These books should be bigger because there should be more Rick and Morty in the world.
Mike, Josh, you guys like Rick and Morty? I love Rick and Morty.
I don't watch it.
I love it.
You should really watch a couple episodes. It's pretty funny.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the first issue, Rick basically uses Morty to game the intergalactic Wall Street, since Rick can't do it himself because he's technically no longer allowed in to the trading house anymore. It's everything that the TV series is, and it's fantastic.
I will look for that. You almost went off on a tangent on that, and I hope you don't do that, because that's Josh's MO. Josh, do you got a tangent for us?
Do I have a tangent for you? So I was poking around while we were talking, and I was looking at the cover of the original X-Force. And the character, who I cannot remember who he is the guy with the swords in the white uniform. Who is that?
Shatterstar?
Shatterstar? Is that guy still around?
Yeah, he's a lover of Longshot in the X-Factor series.
Oh, okay. And I just assume that guy disappeared. Who is your favorite character that you've probably almost forgotten about? Okay, I like that.
How would we be able to answer that?
Because you got to dig deep. You got to think about it. Who's someone you haven't seen for a super long time and you're like, huh? Is that guy still around? Well, let's find out if that guy's still around. Someone you've forgotten? Or someone you liked way back when that you haven't seen lately? Maybe somebody else knows if that guy is still around.
Jack of Hearts.
I hated Jack of Hearts. It's like one of my least favorite characters of all time. I'm just putting that out there.
I know.
You know this? Why did you bring him up then?
Because you hate him.
that guy's a dink.
I don't know if he's still around, but I have seen a Lego figure for him at a con.
All right, how about Arcade? Is Arcade still around? I should really enjoy seeing Arcade pop up. Mikey, when was the last time Arcade popped up?
He was in a Captain America, actually.
How long ago?
No. I can't remember how long ago. I read everything out of order, so it's tough. Like, I'm catching up on back issues.
Josh, who's you mentioned your guy. Is there anybody else that you haven't seen for a while that you missed?
Who do I miss? Trying to think here. I know the Beetle came back. He was one of my favorite ridiculous Spider-Man villains.
I'm going to go
Shatterstar. She is now.
Yeah. I love the character design for Shatterstar, and I didn't know. I honestly just had no idea they continued him as a character whatsoever. I can't remember the last time I saw him.
How about you, Mikey? Did you already name yours? I've been drinking.
I'm going to go with the Inferior Five.
Ha!
When's the last time?
You know what? I was actually looking up the Inferior Five. They were in a crossover. Not terribly recently. Inferior Five. And they were in a crossover.
I don't think they've made an appearance in the New 52.
Brave and the Bold, issue number 17. That was a while ago.
For DC, I'd like
the Silver Age.
Oh, Batman! No, I'm talking about the television show Batman: Brave and the Bold.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah, awesome. They're just in the Music Meister. They appear in the background.
Oh, okay.
But it's still nice.
The Metal Men actually were a major storyline in the Justice League in the New 52 right before the
release. Yeah, I was going to say, in the New 52 with Cyborg, they were a major storyline. I always liked them.
Oh, yeah. I like the Professor in that one.
What about the Micronauts? Whatever happened to the Micronauts?
Oh, yeah. Well, wasn't that one of the ones that started off as a toy? And then, like, hey, let's make a comic book.
I don't know which way that went. I still have my magnetic Baron, what's his name? Karza?
Let's call him Magnetic Baron.
Yeah. I got it, like, he's a die-cast toy, you know? And he's, like, maybe about, I don't know, 8-10 inches tall, and all of his limbs are magnetic, and you can pull them apart and rearrange them. And he came with a horse, and you could make him into a centaur.
Oh, yeah, Baron Karza. I remember him now.
Yeah,
I'm also looking at
one of my
picture.
One of my favorite toys when I was a kid, absolutely. By far. Like, I love that guy. He had, like, fists that could shoot out, and he had all kinds of, like, rocket stuff, like, attached to him. It's completely
he was actually kind of a scary villain.
Yeah.
As far as villains went, I mean, and he was one of those villains that kind of gave me nightmares as a kid. I mean, he was a real villain.
Yeah, and the toy was awesome. Best toy ever.
It looks like the Micronauts came first and then a comic book. So the toy looks like it was first.
The Micronauts first, okay. were always bigger of a toy in my world than the comic. I never really read the comic when it came out.
Yeah, Mego, who was...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mego. Well, I was going to say Mego, who was famous for having, superhero dolls, those Mego dolls with the real cloth capes and all that. Mego's they also the ones that came up with the Micronauts, and they were famous for having interchangeable parts and all of that.
Yeah, I just remember the X-Men crossover. That's how I found the Micronauts.
That I remember that, too. That was really good. And that was like that's when, yeah, he was scary. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I was going to say, I have something for the front of the log box, even though LT stole my thunder earlier. I'm going to recommend people check out Captain America number 14 from the 2012-2014 series run. It was written by Rick Remender. And in it, Cap fights Nuke. And the reason I say that is because I shared page 3 of that comic on Facebook this weekend and had over 50-something shares within less than 24 hours. It's good. I'll read it to you, but I really think you should check out the whole comic book if you get a chance. Captain America's lying on the ground. Nuke is over him holding a gun. And Cap
Hold on. You be Captain America. I'll be Nuke. Go ahead.
Okay. Patriotism taken too far is fanaticism, no matter who you are or where you're from.
What? Oh, wait, sorry. That's the wrong line. Hold on. I got to get on the right page.
He has three lines and you've fucked it up.
Start over. Start over.
Count it in.
Patriotism taken too far is fanaticism, no matter who you are or where you're from.
These filthy foreigners make us look bad.
Foreigners aren't your enemy, son. I'm the son of immigrants.
What?
When I was a kid, it was my father's people, the Irish, who were looked down on, called filthy foreigners, discriminated against. Is that the xenophobic America you want? All religions, all nationalities, we all want the same thing. To see our children grow strong, to provide safety for our families, to live in quiet times. Peace, son. Isn't that why we became soldiers? To fight for a peaceful world?
Nuke looks down stoically.
Cap is a bastion of American patriotism. He loves the fact that democracy is a fragile creature and has to be defended at all costs. I love Captain America. He's a great character. And you should check out Captain America number 14.
And the character of Newt is definitely what nationalism would look like personified. You know, America first, American flag painted on the face, a gun as big as all outdoors, and xenophobic, and, you know, America first, protect America. Right now, there's a couple of hashtags out there that we've been using on our Twitter page. The main one has been just hashtag resist. Resist xenophobia. Resist, you know, going back to, you know, better times. Better times if you were a white, straight male, maybe, but not better times for 90% of the people out there. Certainly not better times for people who want to come into this country legally, and certainly not good times for people who are immigrants or the children of immigrants living in this country. So try to remember that when you're reading comic books. Take a cue from the heroes. Check out hashtag resist. Not bad for a guy who's half in the bag, huh?
Yeah.
Thanks. For my little bit on
half
social justice, I was just going to... I'm all in the bag. For my little bit on social justice, I was going to talk a little bit about hashtag resist, but Josh mentioned Lobo and said it is the beginning of African American History Month. I do want to mention Lobo. Lobo was first published in 1967 by Dell Comics, and it's the adventures of an African-American cowboy. Very much based on the Lone Ranger, but also Bass Reeves, who many people, including the writer of the Lone Ranger, admit is one of the inspirations for the Lone Ranger. So we can easily see how Bass Reeves, a real person in the Wild West, who was a lawman, who used a disguise, who sometimes wore a mask, who had Indian sidekicks, actually multiple Indian sidekicks, was the archetype for the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger being the archetype for many superheroes. Therefore, we can easily say that Bass Reeves, an African-American cowboy, is the kernel that starts the whole superhero craze. I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's not that much of a stretch for a thesis paper by some young and enterprising man. Lobo was a terrific little comic. There's only two issues, and they're hard to find. Go out of your way if you can to find them. They're not poorly written. They're not poorly drawn. They're actually pretty good. The problem was that white comic book, they weren't white comic book store owners at the time. They were just white drugstore owners at the time, didn't want an African-American comic book on their shelves. So many were sent back to Dell Comics, still in the original wrappings. And most were pulped to have new things printed on them later. But if you get a chance, look into the original Lobo, King of the West comic books by Dell Comics, 1967. They are an intelligent, interesting read. And that's all I have to say about that. Now let's go on to plugs. And we have something great to plug. Mikey, where are we going to be next month?
We're going to be at PensaCon.
I should correct that. I think it's this month, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be at PensaCon February 17th, 18th, and 19th. Is that the right dates?
I'll be there. Might be wrong, but that's when I'll be there.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're doing a panel on Friday, and then three on Saturday and one on Sunday. So come check us out at PensaCon.
What are all those panels going to be?
We have Stupid Supervillains at 1:30 p.m. on Friday in Grand Ballroom A. Civil Rights and Social Justice Issues as Reflected in Comics, Saturday at 4 p.m. in Grand Ballroom A, and we'll be joined by Tony Isabella. Civil Disobedience as Reflected in Comics, Why Luke Cage Can't Breathe, Saturday at 7:45 p.m. in Grand Ballroom A. The Last Nerd Standing, Saturday night at 10:30 p.m. Bring Your Alcohol, But I Didn't Say That Out Loud, in Grand Ballroom, dare I say it, A. And then on Sunday, we have Horrible Stereotypes in Comics at 2:45 p.m. in Grand Ballroom
A.
No, it's in C. It's Grand Ballroom C.
Damn it!
And if anybody comes to our Last Nerd Standing panel, it's not a panel. It's a game show, and we are going to have prizes for people who get the answers correct.
And we're going to be very, very generous with those prizes because, once again, Mike's wife has decided that they need room.
That's right. The Closet Reclamation Project continues.
It's true.
All right. We're going to be in Ballroom A. We might as well just camp there.
Sorry, I'm going to have a cot out in Ballroom A.
This month, in order to celebrate Black History Month, we are giving away a signed copy of March. That's right. We have one signed copy that we haven't let Tom get his grubby little hands on that hasn't been given away yet. It's signed by the author, the illustrator, and John Lewis, all three of them.
Aww.
And we are giving it away this month. All you need to do is write into Lucky Bastard at OutsideTheLongBox.com, and you could win this.
It is one of the, it's probably the best graphic novel I read last year. March is one of the best graphic novels, period.
And let me just be clear. The reason I keep losing mine is because I keep letting I gave my first one away to my little brother from the Big Brothers Big Sisters program in Memphis, Tennessee. My buddy, Buddy, love you. He totally loves it, so I couldn't, like, take it back because I'd be a monster. I gave the second away to a young man who was just becoming a woke, and he really wanted to read, a graphic novel that would, you know, get him over the top. And so I gave him that, and I just didn't have the heart to ask for it back. So that's how I lost my first two copies. Call me a monster if you must.
I'm not calling you a monster, Tom. I'm just saying that I waited in line a really long time at Dragon Con to have this signed so that we could give it away for Black History Month. And we are going to give this away for Black History Month.
All right. So, well, I sent mine in, lucky bastard.
So there needs to be emails sent in to us. Otherwise, it's going to go to the person that wrote in, which Tom just wrote into luckybastard.com. I can see it. luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com. I can see it. You bastard, Tom.
Friendly Comics down in Bellingham, Massachusetts. Just go to friendlycomics.com. They're friendly, and the place is clean.
I love ianlino.com. Ianlino.com. Let's not do that.
Oh, man, you got to let us do the echo thing.
Ian and Tammy are going to be at Pensacon, and so you will be able to see them there drinking with us. And they will have their booth, so you can go buy all their awesome shirts, their stained glass work, and their awesome Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses.
Those are awesome.
We should also thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music. Go check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com or buy their songs on iTunes or Bandcamp.
And last but not least, let me just mention that our Twitter page is Outside the Long Box, at the Long Box Guys, because we are the Long Box Guys. And you can talk about anything you want there. Shoot us an email about the hashtag resist, about wrestling, about comic books, anything you want to talk about. Trust me, we're very easy to engage with. And Josh, this guy was here. He's knocking on my door. He's wondering whose sector this was. I don't know whose it is, but is it yours?
Send that some bitch away. It ain't my sector.
It ain't your sector indeed. And Mike, what is this radio show like to you?
It's like a podcast.
Could you explain that to, I don't know, a famous person that Josh met once?
I could not explain it to Casper Van Dien, if that's what you're asking. But to anybody else, it's like a radio show, but it's on the internet.
And Tommy? Thanks, everybody, and have a great night.
My whole world fall down.